Welcome to episode 265 of Grid Talk. Today, we are here to discuss qualifying for the 2023 Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. My name is Lou Edwards, and joining me today, we have Grid Talk co-host and host of our new Formula Talk show, Sophia Richmond and Tom Downey.
Hi.
Hello.
And from Hit the Apex, we have Jawad Yakub.
Hey, guys.
But before we get into the episode, we must thank our sponsor for this episode, Bet Online. Bet Online remains your number one source for all your college basketball betting this season. Get analysis of every play, prop, and point at Bet Online. You'll find the latest odds, bracket contests, team matchups, and game trends at Bet Online. Updated odds for everything from live games, the conference championships, right through to the Final Four and championship game. BetOnline is your college basketball headquarters this season. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to sign up and you'll receive 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Be sure to use our promo code BLEAV, that's B-L-E-A-V, all in caps, to receive your bonus. BetOnline.ag, where the game starts. So, Tom, Sergio Perez put it on pole. I believe he was your prediction for the poll taker. And it's kind of made a lot of pressure on his race because, well, surely he has to win it now that his teammate's down in 15th.
You would say so, yeah. But Max could start in Bahrain and he'd still win tomorrow. The kind of form he's in, you know, he's on an absolute purple patch at the minute. But the pressure is absolutely on Perez. He could have won it last year. He got undone quite badly by a really ill-timed safety car, which kind of scuppered his race. Given that Perez's strength has always been in a race situation, not in a qualifying situation, and he is, you know, he's very, very good around street circuits. You know, we saw around Singapore last year, you know, around here. You know, we've seen him do he won Monaco last year. I think he will do well tomorrow. It's vital that he gets a good start off the line because he's got Alonso next to him. He's going to be sniffing out like a rabid dog for a first race win in the best part of 10 years. So it's a fairly short run up to turn one. I believe, if memory serves me correctly, pole starts on the right-hand side of the grid. So Alonso may well have the inside line. If pole is on the outside, then there's a good chance that we might not. Let's find out tomorrow because I don't know. And I think if it was Max, we'd probably be saying odds are he's going to get a pretty good start. He's going to waltz away into the lead and that's that. But with Checo, you know, I like Checo. He's a good driver, but he's not the same level as someone like Max or Leclerc or, you know, Russell or Hamilton or whoever. So it will be very interesting to see how he gets on tomorrow. I want him to win, but I also want Alonso to win. So yeah, I'm a bit conflicted.
Yeah, I mean it's a tough one, especially for me as a big Fernando Alonso fan. But of course, Sophia, he wasn't the one who qualified on the front row. It was Charles Leclerc, and Ferrari have had been an odd weekend. You know, throughout practice, we didn't see anything from them. We were like, okay, Ferrari are looking a bit odd. They're probably going to be on the same pace as the Mercedes, and boom, Charles Leclerc P2, but we'll start from P12 tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a mixed bag. You've seen it even in qualifying as well, leaving it to the last minute. In free practice, they kept on getting holed up by traffic throughout trying to do hot laps and everything for it. With this circuit as well, timing is key. And for some reason, the strategy is still not up to where it probably should be. And then obviously, again, as you mentioned, with the engine penalty he will take for a new ICE, it's not a good start for Ferrari. It's literally 180 from how Red Bull was from last season. So hopefully maybe can be flipped around and maybe Ferrari towards the second half of the season can actually pull it out of the bag. But it's just absolutely astonishing that some of these calls being made so early on with when to go, when to come out, when to do fast laps. I remember hearing on the quali they wanted to do two cool laps and they said no as well because they would be stuck really bad in traffic for the last like 5 minutes or so. But, and like the penalty so early as well. I mean, a lot of teams are making upgrades this this race in Jeddah, but to have a 10-place grid penalty already, last time that was in 2021, I think for Yuki for the same thing as well, but his was from crashes. Charles has not had a crash yet. He's just had engine failures this whole time, and we're going to see a lot more penalties, I think, from Charles with throughout the season, because it's 23 races, which is a lot, and then obviously with more sprint races as well coming in, I don't know how Ferrari's going to stand up with it.
Yeah, it is a weird one, because Ferrari's season has already been kind of screwed, and it's like, what are they going to do from here? But a strong result from Leclerc, maybe a good recovery, could do really well. So, Jared, we will move on to the man who will be starting alongside Checo on the front row, Fernando Alonso. There's been a lot of talk going into this weekend. You know, he's in garage number 33. He's chasing his 33rd career win. He's starting on the front row. Do you think he can do it?
Like every fiber in me wants to say yes, just to see the old dog actually break that drought that Tom said, goes back for best part of a decade. Or was it Barcelona 2013? So, yeah, it is coming up on 10 years now to that. But I think what we saw in qualifying from him and Aston Martin in general was validation that, yeah, this car is pretty quick. You know, Bahrain, it could have been easy to get caught up in the hype train and whatnot, but because it's such a unique track, it's like, how are they going to go on different circuits? And Alonso himself said that you know, they'll get a better idea after Jeddah and Albert Park as well, because they're two very different circuits apart from Bahrain. But it's here, you know, they're on the second row, not too far behind the Red Bull in qualifying. And given the fact that, you know, Verstappen is starting down the order as well, you know, not saying that Perez is an easy target, but, you know, I feel like Alonso, with all his experience and his racecraft and guile, you know, it could make for an interesting battle, because Perez is not the kind of person to give up either or relent. So we could have a cracking battle at the front between those two. And, you know, just saying Fernando Alonso is going to be fighting for a race win is something I didn't think I'd be saying ever again as a Formula One fan. So it's quite exciting.
Yeah, it certainly is for me, who's waited nearly 11 years of my life, which is half my age, for him to win another race. Tom, P4 in qualifying and P3 on the track, George Russell, he's, you know, he's had the, you know, Lewis under his thumb this entire weekend. And yet again, he's shown just how quick he is and just how much more he's able to get out of that Merc, which is not competitive, but he's doing a good job to at least get it above one of the Aston Martins and the other Ferrari.
I mean, to be fair, Russell's had Hamilton under his thumb since he joined Mercedes. You know, let's not beat around the bush. It was a surprisingly good result, and I bet that's not something we ever thought we'd say about Mercedes in the turbo hybrid era. But Russell did really well, because when he did his first flying lap, I think he put it P2. Granted, that was before Perez had been around, and I think possibly Leclerc had been around. But still, it was a good lap. He was mixing it up there a lot more than people expected. You know, he's going to start P3 tomorrow, obviously with Leclerc having the penalty. I mean, you know, he's sort of primed. If say, like a safety car comes out at just the right point and screws over the two drivers in front, he could really benefit from it. And, you know, if the Merc has enough pace going around there, you know, sort of pounding around Jeddah, then, you know, he's definitely got a sort of sniff at a podium. And you know, I don't want to jinx anything, but we've seen two Red Bull powered cars have issues this weekend, because De Vries missed all of FP3 whilst AlphaTauri changed components. And obviously, as we'll get onto later, Max's car chewed itself You know, he shifted in seventh, and then the gearboxes went mic drop and left. You know, so it was you know, so that's half the Red Bull train power car. So who's to say that Perez won't have an issue tomorrow? And if he does, and he conks out, Russell could inherit a net lead or something. I don't think anybody's hopes up, because that is obviously dependent on Mercedes having the race pace tomorrow, and I don't think they will. I think they will probably fall back a bit. You know, I dare say it, someone like the Alpines may well come sniffing again, provided they don't conk up, because you just got to look at the Alpines funny and they DNF. So reliability aside, he could get a good result. I think at the very least, it should be some decent points for Mercedes. Again, barring no first lap absolute carnage, you know, Pastor Maldonado 2012 yeet, I'm thinking. Provided nothing like that happens, I would say Russell should have a good result tomorrow.
Yeah. Is there every possibility of George Russell doing well? He's really managed to outdrive this Mercedes so far. But Sophia, he may have a bit of a challenge on his hand from the man behind, Carlos Sainz. Had a very quiet quali, didn't really do anything spectacular while it was, you know, Leclerc at the top of the field. Sainz has kind of got on with his day and stuck at P5, which at the end of the day is not the worst position, because he will be starting on the second row.
Yeah, I mean, he left it to last minute a few times. I was like texting the chat saying, is Sainz going to be knocked out in Q2? Because he was like, had pretty much crossed the line, which is a little bit of time left to do a final push, and that would got him out of Q2. But yeah, very quiet from him. Didn't have any issues going out of place. But obviously, he has a new ice as well. So my fear is he changes a new ice for this leading up to before the race. Will this new ice fail in the race like it was for Bahrain for Charles? That's what I'm fearful for. And then there will just be another load of penalties for the other Ferrari, which they don't need at all. It's bad enough they already have one. Now they're going to have both potentially, especially with ice. You will probably go through about 3 or 4 in a season sometimes as well, albeit without any major crashes. So we'll see. I'm expecting he'll probably stay around the same way, like position that he'll probably start in, around 4th or 5th, definitely in the top 5, I think, potentially, if it isn't for the engine or the ice to fail on them.
Yes, we've got to rely on good old Ferrari reliability to get them through the race. Gerard, P6 for Lance Stroll today. Got our hopes up slightly when he set a purple first sector. We're thinking, well, maybe what could Lance do here? But it wasn't to be, and he's starting P6. It's still a solid result from Stroll. There's definitely pace in that Aston Martin for him to potentially move up tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, like you said, the screens lit up purple in the first sector, and then he had a personal best second, and then just all fell away at the end there. But, you know, let's not forget he's still very much recovering from those injuries that he had pre-season. So the fact that, you know, he's anywhere near the sharp end of the grid is quite miraculous. And I think he earned a lot of respect for his result in Bahrain. So this is probably a more demanding track. It's going to be a bit of a test for him physically, but, you know, to be starting sixth, you know, once again, kind of in between two Mercedes cars as well is a big deal. He's doing a pretty good job at the moment. Six is great for Stroll.
Yeah, it is. We still do have to take that into consideration, because he is still recovering, and he is doing a much better job than what we're used to seeing Stroll doing in qualifying. It's usually his weaker point, but he's doing very well this season. Seventh for the penalty merchant Esteban Ocon, Tom. Do you think he'll actually start in his grid box this time?
I don't know. I think maybe somebody needs to get him a tape measure just to make sure. Maybe he needs, you know, those people when they're landing aircraft, when they're waving like those glow sticks, whatever they're called. I think maybe he needs someone to do that. But joking aside, provided he starts in his grid box properly and doesn't speed in the pit lane and then not serve a penalty properly, he should have a decent race. You know, he's the Alpines are they're looking fairly strong. You know, they left it a bit late to actually show their proper pace, but they were. If you look especially at FP2, now I know you can't take everything from practice. If you look at FP2, which is where a lot of the lots of the more representative times were being done, when they were doing their race sims, they looked pretty strong. You know they were pumping in some good times. So maybe we'll see something from them tomorrow. I think for Alpine, they just need a solid weekend, and you know, Ocon especially. You see, a solid weekend. Keep your nose clean. Keep in your pit box. Keep out the FIA's like radar, and just don't speed in the pit lane. Make sure your mechanics can count to five, and make sure that you can, you know, just don't be stupid, man. You know, just keep it clean. Just. There's a good chance that, you know, sort of like that P6, P7, that's where you might start to get a good sort of like melee going into turn one. Don't go for any heroics. Do what you did in Hungary 2021, where if some shenanigans goes down in front of you, just zip around the outside and say bye. You know, just take the position that way. Just, oh, come on, please, just have a good race, man.
Yeah. I think it'll be one for Alpine, and they'll really want double points, and they do have every chance to get it, as we'll get on to Pierre Gasly later. But Sophia, we first need to talk about Lewis Hamilton. P8, as I said earlier about George Russell, he's not got the grip of the car that George has at the moment. But considering that Lewis Hamilton was knocked out in Q2 last year, or Q1 was, and actually it was Q1 last year he got knocked out. I mean, he can't be too unhappy. You know, he's in the points. I don't think the Mercedes has that dire of pace to drop out of it. It's just going to make sure he just gets to the end of the race, really, isn't it?
Definitely. I mean, he actually was meant to be starting ahead of Ocon, but I think he got a lap time deleted towards the end, or if not after qualifying finish. So that's why he's a little bit low compared to if anybody was watching it live. It's good for Mercedes. I mean, having both up in the points, and I think that is where they should be more consistently. I feel that Hamilton probably should have been a lot higher than what it was. I don't think he even had... He did a few purple sectors a few times. Same with George as well, but then Aston Martin just completely wiped it. Same with Red Bull. Same with Ferrari? Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes. but... Yeah, I think because he's won at this race back 2 years ago, I think it definitely is possible that he can move up. Do I see him in a podium? Absolutely not. And that's just me being brutally honest. I can see him maybe top five, top six. I have a feeling, start of the race, with how narrow this track is, how fast this track is, given that it's the fastest street circuit and the second fastest track of this season, I think there's going to be a little bit of carnage up at the front, and I think Hamilton could get away with it and come out a little bit cleanly. But I don't think a podium is on the cards for Hamilton. I think it's more likely for George than it is for Lewis. But he was very quiet in quali, didn't really do much, kind of just kept it down, except for that one lap time deleted after the end of quali or just before the end of quali in Q3. But other than that, quite quiet. I think this is where Mercedes probably will have to be very consistent in that kind of way. There's been a lot of shake outside of the drive. The drivers, when it comes to like staffing, there's been a lot of staff leaving in the news. Lots of media attention as well. So I feel like they just need to keep their head down when it comes to racing, and especially on Sunday as well, have a good result as well. Because right now the media, Mercedes is in the media all the time right now with team departures and rumors of Lewis might be leaving. We don't know. So we'll see.
Yeah, definitely we'll see. But he hasn't been very positive in the media recently. And if this continues, and especially if his pace of George continues to be behind him, he could maybe see the end of Hamilton at Mercedes. But we don't know. Obviously, that's between those two parties. But Jawad, going to be moving on to someone I'm sure you are particularly happy with today. Oscar Piastri. I mean, given how poor the McLaren was last week, to get into the top 10 and not only just get into the top 10 and qualify 10th, but then go faster than one of the Alpines. That's a mega job from Oscar Piastri today.
Yeah, very well done from Oscar and his first Q3 appearance coming again at quite a quick track. You wouldn't have expected McLaren with their deficiencies at the moment to be up there and whatnot, but it's a really good job. And I think for him as well, big confidence booster too, because, yeah, you know, these opening races were going to be tricky for them. And particularly what happened last time out in Bahrain, you know, the boy wasn't doing too badly on his side. It was a car that let him down, you know, 13 laps into the race. So hopefully this time he can have a bit more fortune with reliability and actually score points, you know, which, you know, he's got the talent, you know, there's no question about that. And all the credibility and whatnot, reputation he's built in his junior career, it's time to put that on show. So yeah, he'll move up to eighth as well with the Leclerc penalty. So very good opportunity for McLaren to get themselves on the board, because after Bahrain, they're sitting last in the Constructors' Championship, which was not something that we would have said coming into the season.
No, and the job for points for McLaren is going to be made slightly more difficult with Lando well out of position, but we'll get him on to that later. Round out the top 10 now, Tom. Pierre Gasly got points in Bahrain, did a brilliant recovery job last weekend. It's clear that he is quite settled with that Alpine. He has clearly got some pace with it, and here we are, P10 with a good chance of points for tomorrow.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that his performance will get a likes by Pierre Gasly after that. It was a much better result for him. Certainly, obviously, a quality result. I did have my heart in my mouth for him to begin with, because he left it quite late, a bit like I said with Ocon earlier, Gasly especially, he left it quite late on his runs to actually get through into the sort of competitive positions. He's got the car into a good position now, and I hope that tomorrow he can hold a good race. He's a good driver, Gasly, and obviously he's won a race a few years ago. He really needs to sort of show that he can move on to the next phase of his driving career. And obviously moving to Alpine, moving out of the Red Bull program, all the rest of it. This is his time to shine, effectively. And I think that, you know, if he's going to make a statement, about his position and about his, you know, about his place in F1, he needs to beat his teammates tomorrow, I'd say. How he does that, I don't know. But I'm not saying guys have got something to prove, but I would say tomorrow he does need to, at the very least, he needs to beat his teammate. I think he's got the minerals to do that. He's got the car to do that, provided, you know, he doesn't overheat, doesn't DNF or the rest of it. We saw quite a few cars overheating last year. We saw issues, possibly temperature related. We don't know. In the lower down series, and obviously in quali, Gasly needs. Well, I wouldn't say he needs a strong performance. It's not like his it's not like his seat's on the line, but he does. I would say no. Again, no. Sorry, I'm correcting myself. I wouldn't say he needs one. I would say he should get a good result tomorrow, and beating his teammate, I think, is going to be the first step towards that.
Yeah, as we've seen Gasly, you know, he's had fairly easy pickings against Tsunoda for the last couple of seasons, and now he's got his, he's got his chance to go with someone who, you know, Ocon, who has been He's been quite good. He's been quite solid for the last few years, and it's definitely a good opportunity to show where he's at the moment. So, Sevier, P11 for Nico Hülkenberg. And I'll be completely honest, I thought Hülkenberg was going to get into Q3. His pace in the first two quality sessions was electric. He was in the top 10. He was doing great. Only for him to drop out and start P11, which is, I think, is quite a shame.
I mean, seeing a Haas, like, a first few times, like, P6, P7, like, I was quite shocked. Obviously, it trickles down when the Red Bulls and the Astons and all that kind of come into play. But, I mean, looking at the times as well, he was only, like, 3/10, 4/10 off of Gasly, so wasn't that off. Like, very, very close to it. And I think Haas has potential this season. Last season they did all right, obviously, with Kevin Magnussen gain points. I think Nico coming in, I put my hand up and I said in previous podcasts that Nico should not have joined. It should have been young development drivers, I think. However, because I thought he's been out of the game too long. Obviously, yes, he's been a super sub. He raced in Jeddah in Aston Martin last year as well. So I think it is possible that he can get points. I think Haas have potential to do well this season. I was just kind of shocked. Like, he was just consistently putting up and just being consistent with some of the other teams that we thought are quite stronger as well. But we'll see how the reliability is. Like, reliability is, I think, going to be one of the crucial things throughout this entire season, especially also in Jeddah as well. Not as much tire degradation. It will be definitely how the heat will take place in the race as well. Obviously, it will be slightly cooler. It'll be similar to how quali environment was. But I think even Magnussen as well, who we'll speak about a little bit later, P13, I think both houses have potential to get into the points for this race. And I think that might be my bold prediction as well, potentially.
Well, come all with the bold predictions. Don't mind. But, Jared, P12 for Zhou Guanyu. I mean, that's fairly impressive. You know, he was over 2/10 faster than Bottas, and not a gap that we're often used to seeing Zhou ahead of Bottas, but... You know, P12 is a very competitive position for him to push on from tomorrow.
Yeah, very much so. And outqualifying his teammate, like you said, it's not something that you see on a regular basis, considering how good Valtteri is on Saturdays and whatnot. So it's a good position for them to go. You know, you'd hope that they have an anonymous race in the sense of, they just keep it clean and out of the walls and not hit any trouble because, yeah, this race is always going to be one that attracts safety cars and crashes and whatnot. So you really don't want this team, you know, Alpha, to hit any trouble because the midfield is so competitive. It's so tight at the moment. So any points lost could have big ramifications come the end of the season. And, you know, we saw last year they tied on points with Aston Martin, but they were ahead on count back of results. So, you know, every race is going to be important for a team like Alfa Romeo.
Yeah, exactly. It's a very competitive midfield. And I think any time a team like Haas or like Alfa Romeo or AlphaTauri are going to get opportunity to score points here. They're going to need to take that opportunity, and I think Zhou's got a good one here. So, Tom, we move on to the other Haas of Kevin Magnussen. And honestly, I want to just hear what your opinion. Do you agree with Sophia? Do you reckon that Magnussen could potentially challenge for a point along with his teammates tomorrow?
I do, yeah. I think K-Mag's got the pace in him. I think the car's got the pace in it. And I also think that with K-Mag coming into this season, you know, he's not got an easy ride like he did alongside Schumacher. He's got a teammate who, granted, yes, you know, he's a bit older than him, has been on the block a few times, and a lot of people, including me, have said in the past that, you know, he's possibly a bit overrated or, you know, or what have you. He's still decently quick, Hülkenberg. And I think K-Mag can potentially scrap for points. You know, he's right on the cusp. Again, Vieira could launch, you know, provided he doesn't say like bog down in the second phase of his launch when he releases the second clutch or something. You know, he could end up in the points by the end of sort of lap one, lap two. Again, I'm just, reliability is a thing that seems to be coming around this season, because we've had, obviously, you know, Ferrari is, you know, they've run out of control of the electronics already for Leclerc's car, as we all know. They changed Sainz's engine. So any Ferrari power cars, I'd be a little bit sort of hesitant. You know, the same thing with the Red Bull power cars. You know, Alpine is Alpine. So, you know, so provided the car doesn't overheat and then sort of like go into a limp mode, or you know, doesn't sort of, you know, shut down or, you know, cook itself or whatever, it'll be, yeah, he could. Whether he will is a different story. And yes, I'm sitting on the fence here. You know, he definitely could, and I would say he should. But whether he will, let's find out.
The ultimate politician's answer there from Tom Downey. So we'll move on to P14, Sophia, Valtteri Bottas. And it's kind of similar to what I was talking to Jared with, and what Jared said. It's just, it's going to be about making sure they make it to the end of the race. Hopefully none of the Ferrari gremlins are going to affect them during the race. Make sure they get to the end. And given the nature of this circuit, there might be a point or a couple of points on offer.
Yeah, I think the first part, making it to the end, I think that's probably the key thing for Alpha. Will I see them in points unless a major accident happens or Bottas does some good overtakes? It is possible on this track to do overtakes. We even saw today, if you look at Formula 2, some great overtakes in some of these corners. So I definitely think it is possible. I think for him, for Bottas, he just needs to have a consistent, clean race. Like, he's obviously raced before this track since it's been on the calendar, obviously previously with Mercedes as well. Yeah. So I think more than anything, I feel like he can make up a few spots. Will I see him in points? It's more debatable, but I think he has a good shot to get maybe to P11, maybe up to P12. But it was quite a surprising thing for him in qualifying. He's not done very well in qualifying. Even if you look at Bahrain as well, he didn't do all right in Bahrain. So I think he needs to start like looking into what's happening, because he finished P13 or P14, I believe, around the same time in Bahrain in qualifying, if I'm not corrected. I don't know what's happening with Alpha, because he was doing quite well last season, getting very close into like the top part of Q2, getting into Q1, Q3, I should say. I don't know what's happened this season. It's just completely 180 for him in qualifying so far.
Yeah, very, very true. You know, Bottas, you know, has so much experience on his shoulders, but sometimes it doesn't go well for him, and we've seen that plenty of times, be it the wheel of a Williams or a Mercedes. But speaking of things that did go very well, Jawad, Max Verstappen probably would have taken pole. I think we could all agree here that Max probably would have taken pole, but his drive shaft decided to fail, which we don't know whether he'll be taking a penalty or not tomorrow for a replacement, if they've got to change anything. But as it stands, he'll be starting P15. So, Jad, so on what lap of the race do you think he's going to take the lead?
Yeah, well, I don't think he can do an Ayrton Senna and round them up on the first lap. So we'll see probably halfway through it. But like Tom said earlier, Max could start the race from Bahrain and still win. And he did win from 15th last year at Spa. Overtaking is possible at this track, as we've seen. And there's just so much pace in that car that is mind-blowing. And we know that if he was on pole, the margin would have been greater than it was from between, Perez and Alonso. Sophia just pointed out that, you know, Alonso won from P14 in one in Asterix, from P14 in Singapore all those years ago. I don't think Red Bull are gonna do what Renault did back then to get him to win, because he's actually got the car pace to do so. So yeah, it's gonna be a matter of just a matter of time when we see him get to the front.
Yeah, as you said, the nature of the track allows for overtaking, and even though they have shortened the DRS zones around the track, there is still plenty of opportunities. I'm sure Max is not afraid to make an overtake or two, as we've seen. So maybe one to watch for tomorrow. Tom, Yuki Tsunoda, P16. I mean, I guess the only positive for him is that he's ahead of his teammate once again. But otherwise, disappointing from AlphaTauri. They really are just slipping backwards and are fast becoming one of the back-marker teams.
Yeah, not great from Yuki, to be honest. And in a season where he needs to be performing and getting good, consistent results, just not a good start, is it? You know, he's Yuki, man. You know, your seat is under threat from, let's say, Iwasa, Liam Lawson, Daruvala, insert Red Bull driver here. No, Sophia, not Zimboloni. I saw that. Yuki really needs to have some good weekends. I know, you know, Jeddah's not that easy a circuit, but all the drivers are on more or less a level playing field in terms of experience on this track, because it's only the third time we've been there. And most of the drivers have driven there at least once. You know, most of them have driven it three times, or will have driven it three times, by close of play tomorrow. So Yuki needs a good race. He needs a clean race. Yuki, you know, he's one of those ones where everybody likes him because he's funny and, you know, he swears and, you know, he's got a bit of, you've got a bit of sort of like character and personality, but I just don't think he's cutting the mustard at the minute. And the car's not helping by any stretch. You know, AlphaTauri have really struggled since the new regs came in. I bet they wish they could go back to their 2021 spec. But it's, I don't think the F1 thing is working for him. And I also think that if Honda weren't as involved with Red Bull as they are, I think Yuki would have probably been out the door by now. So I don't know. I don't think he's going to get points tomorrow. I think he's too far down the grid. I hope he doesn't have any reliability issues, because obviously, you know, he's one of the two Red Bull power cars that haven't chewed themselves yet. So let's see what he can do. I fear a bit that, you know, he's what, P15, 16, you know, he's down there sort of like, he's going to be right in the mix into turn one. You know, if he misses a braking point because his tires are cold, you know, or his brakes are cold, if he snatches at the brake going into turn one, you know, we could see a bit of shenanigans going on. I hope not, and I hope it is a clean race. But let's see what he does tomorrow. I'm a bit apprehensive about him.
Yeah, we'll definitely see what he can do tomorrow. Sophia, Alex Albon, P17, and I had so much expectation. I feel like I've had the same conversation about Hülkenberg like 15 minutes ago. Williams looked quick; they were doing really well, and then he finishes 17th. Like, it was odd.
Yeah, I mean, even James Bowe was like, we will do quite well, like, even pre-quali, like, we will do quite well. This is a good circuit for us. I mean, if you look at free practice again, can't take too much word on it. They were doing quite well in free practice and doing some good runs as well from that. So, from them to hype it up, and then it just, like, a disappointment, like, Ferrari season last season. I don't know. He did finish last. Obviously, his teammate has finished last. I think Albon has potential to make moves, though. While he has not has as much experience compared to some of the other drivers slightly ahead of him, I think that he has potential to make a couple, 2 to 3 maybe spots. He's really good at overtaking. And also, the Williams, for some reason, surprisingly, is actually being quite quick. Like, we were expecting them to be quite low in the grid, but now in the constructors, but that's more so McLaren at the moment. I think it's possible. Like, James Vowell has been very positive since coming into Williams this season as well. And you have seen some great strides through development and how quick the Williams is sometimes, depending on how the circuit is and what they're running. I think the biggest question is, can they last a whole race in this weather? I think that might be a little bit of an issue. I hopefully can see that both the Williams will stay till the end of the race, but I think they have good race pace, and I think if they can last to the end of the race, I think they can move up a couple of spaces. Definitely not on the points. They're way too low for the points, but definitely a few places up.
Yeah, I think there is some pace in that Williams. I think that's something we do need to take some positive away from that. Their long runs, as you mentioned, did look quite good. Jared, the last driver we'll talk about in depth, because the other two, it's not really all that much to say, but Nyck de Vries had a troubled start to his quali runs. Of course, he spun it at turn one. And again, just not quite on the pace of his teammate, Yuki Tsunoda. And I think he's probably struggling more than most rookies around the Jeddah track.
Yeah, it's not looking good for de Vries at the moment. And like you said, he did have the problem early on. He lost the car under braking into turn one and cooked that set of tires. And then, yeah, from there, he kind of just didn't recover. And Sophia's just pointed out too that he's also the only rookie that hasn't raced at this track either. Other rookies that have had F2 experience here, de Vries wasn't he in F2 in 2021 when they first came to this track. So it's a bit difficult for him. And, you know, I thought coming into the season, de Vries would easily have the measure of his teammate Tsunoda. And it's just, you know, not looking that way at the moment. And with such a tricky car that the AlphaTauri is, you know, it's really hard for someone of de Vries's talent to really show that. Like, you know, the Williams he had last year, you know, to score points on debut, and Monza looks better than what the AlphaTauri is at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. You can only hope that as he gets more settled and he gets a little bit more experience around these tracks, we'll start seeing the Nyck de Vries that we did see at Monza. But I'll quickly round this off. Norris turning into the final corner broke his steering arm, and a rookie error from Lando, which put him out. And then Logan Sargeant, who just could not string a lap together. But it has been announced that he has been permitted to race, even though he didn't meet the 107% time. It's because of his laps in practice have been deemed sufficient. So he'll most likely start either from the back or perhaps from the pit lane. I'm not too sure. I guess it'll be up to Williams where they'll start him. But we are through all 20 drivers, which means we can get onto the wonderful predictions. So, Tom, we will start with you. Of course, you already given us your predictions on the preview show, but have they changed? So who is going to be on your podium for tomorrow?
I'm going to say channel that energy, channel those vibes, and challenge you about to smile. I'm going to say Alonso P1. Checo P2, because I think he's going to get a little bit undone by perhaps a safety car or a yellow flag or a VSC or something. And then P3, I'm going to go for an outside bet. This is also going to be my bold prediction. I'm going to say Carlos Sainz.
Ooh, that's a very ambitious podium from Tom. Sophia, is yours going to be a bit more relaxed or who's going to be as bold as Tom's?
I mean, I was thinking about science, given like the positions and everything, but then I remember Ferrari's reliability. So probably not. I think it's probably going to be, I think it's going to be Perez, Alonso, Russell. I think it's just going to stay how it is. And I feel like that might be even bold as well. But yeah, how the grid is starting is how it's going to end.
Okay. And Jared?
Yeah, I almost thought that Tom was going to steal my top three, but he put Science up there. So, yeah, I was going to say Alonso for the win, Perez, and I'm surprised no one's put Verstappen on the podium, so I'm going to put Max up there for P3 because, yeah, he'll climb his way back up the field, but it won't be enough to take the win.
I was really hoping no one was going to say Max was going to be like, I'm going to be bold. I'm going to say... I personally, if I'm going to go with Checo, is going to win the race, however much it kills me to say that. But then I'm going to go Max Verstappen P2. I think the Red Bulls are just going to be that fast that Perez will have enough of a gap that Verstappen won't be able to catch up. And then third place, I'm going to go with Fernando. We're going to go it's a new top three. Now on to bold predictions, Tom. We've kind of already heard yours already, but have you got an even bolder prediction to give us?
Hamilton falls out the points.
Ooh. Okay. And Sophia, we've kind of heard yours. Are you going to stick with the two halves in the points?
Yeah. Yep, I think both passes and the points, just about 9 and 10. That's probably it.
Okay, and God?
Random one, but Yuki Tsunoda will score points.
Okay, Yuki Tsunoda score points. That is bold. I'm going to go with one of the McLarens to finish in the points. I know it may seem not as bold because Oscar is already in the points, but I think the McLaren's pace has probably been a little bit sweetened in quali compared to their actual race pace. So, guys, before we finish the race, I'll give you a chance to promote whatever you wish to promote within reason. So, Tom, where can our listeners find more from you?
So in terms of motorsports shenanigans, I co-host I am one of the co-hosts of the Grid Talk podcast alongside your good self, Louis. Also, Sophia and I do a show called Formula Talk, which has done 5 or 6 episodes where we look at everything, F2, F3. We're going to be looking at the upcoming F1 Academy. Basically, motor racing that isn't F1 is probably the easiest way to put it. Not absolutely everything, because there aren't enough hours in the day. But primarily the sort of support series, if you like. So you can find that everywhere you can find Grid Talk. You can also find Formula Talk. It's all under the same roof.
Brilliant. And Sophia?
Yeah, obviously Formula Talk, which is part of Grid Talk. Also, you can find me with Everything F1. We do podcasts, articles, and media at www.everythingf1.com. We do a weekly podcast. We do 2 podcasts, actually, sorry, now that the season started. So a Sunday race review. And then also we have interviews with former drivers and members within the motorsport community as well. And you can find that on all places that you can find podcasting.
Brilliant. And Jared, you're from Hit the Apex, so where can our viewers find more from you?
Yeah, you can listen to my show on all the good podcast platforms, Apple, Spotify, Google, YouTube. I also write for a website called The Roar as well. Been doing live blogs for all the Formula One races for about 10 seasons now. So, yeah, I'm up ridiculous hours doing lap-by-lap coverage of all the GPs. So, yeah, looking forward to hitting it again tomorrow.
Brilliant. And, of course, make sure to follow F1 Chronicle on Twitter, and also make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel to find more from us. We've passed over 1,000 subscribers. We've even passed the 1,500 subscribers now, which has been amazing. Thank you for all the support that we've had in the last week. Our subscriber numbers have absolutely blown. So if you are new, thank you so much. And if you aren't new, please consider hitting the subscribe button. The support, as I said recently, has been incredible. So, of course, you can find Grip Talk, which is available on YouTube, where the majority of our episodes are recorded live. We're also on Amazon Fire, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Music, Verbal, and Pocket Cast. Just search F1 Grid Talk. And we have a back catalog of over 260 shows. So if you are stuck with something to listen to between now and the race, we've got plenty of shows to listen to, not just qualifying and race results. Please consider supporting the channel on Patreon so we can get mics, lights, and better recording equipment for all our hosts. And if you're feeling nice and you really love the podcast, please give us a 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify. It really does help people find our podcast, and it's great to hear feedback. It's great to hear feedback in general. We'll, of course, be back tomorrow with the Saudi race review. So thank you so much for listening to the Grid Talk podcast, powered, of course, by Bet Online. We'll be back tomorrow. Thank you and goodbye.